Hey, Big Love fam, welcome to Super Freak. This is a high vibe podcast, y'all, exploring all things frequencies, how they govern form, shape our realities, and are the key to living from your full potential. It's non-woo convos about super woo shit, unpacking what I call the science of self, from body and soul literacy to the power of understanding vibration, higher consciousness, quantum physics, and spiritual psych. Let this podcast become a resource for you on your journey to self-mastery. If you're curious and ready to free your mind, unlock the body, and truly become limitless, then you're in the right place. I'm your host, Tally. This is Super Freak, awakening for the next gen. Let's go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Super Freak. This week, I'm really excited because I am having my first guest, Avia Amber, on the show. And I was excited to interview her because we both got banned on TikTok around the same time. And we became mutuals on the platform, kind of receiving very similar things and chatting back and forth through each other's videos and things like that. She's an artist. She's a singer. She's very much a voice of her generation. I think she's going to be up to some very, very big things. We jump right into this conversation. I am asking her right away about what happened with her account, and the conversation effortlessly flows from there. We cover Diddy parties, y'all, insider tips and tricks, the accuracy of that. She's going to tell her story. We're going to share stuff about the election. We're going to go into transforming the darkest parts of us and sitting with ourselves in the fire and how that is truly what builds your strength and character along your awakening journey, rather. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. So let's get into it.
How long have you been growing on TikTok? Because you're growing fast. This tells me you had a very active audience.
You know what's funny, actually, because obviously I had to start this new account. So I haven't even, I think my energy towards this completely changed, knowing how quickly they can just cut you off and like have you vanish. I haven't even checked my followers. I have no idea. I'm just kind of hoping to grow it again because
it was an income.
It was, yeah. And also it was just so unfair. Like I said, I wouldn't mind if I was banned for a valid reason, I would accept it. And I'd be like, that sucks. Yes, but clearly I deserved it. But because it was so unfair and they admitted to election interference, because a part of me did think, do I really want to start a new account? Do I really want to start over again? Because that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But then there was another part of me that almost feels like a spiritual aspect to it where I'm like, I need people to know about this.
Oh, it's spiritual warfare. It is spiritual warfare.
Absolutely. And so that's actually what made me get on there again. And I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to go talk about it. I want people to know about this. And I was telling you, I was like, I also do take things as signs. And I never break my phone, ever. I literally dropped my phone and it just so happened to hit the sensor on my camera that blacked out my camera entirely. And so now I can't even post content until my new phone arrives. And I'm like, is this a sign? Because clearly something's telling me like not to post at the moment.
This is completely insane. So Avia, welcome to the show. I met you virtually on TikTok just as a fan of your vibe and energy. And I was like, I love it. She just doesn't give a fuck. And she's totally spitting truth. And et cetera. But then it became kind of something else. There was clearly a targeting of very specific creators. I'm very confused right now at the targeting on TikTok. And we'll get a little bit more into that, even though you just explained a bunch, which was awesome. Because there's certain accounts that are conspiracy accounts that might get shadow banned. They'll get banned and build up a new account like uber fast, or they'll get their account reinstated. And there's other people that are talking about outlandish things that don't get banned at all. And I'm like, I talked about deprogramming fucking Epstein-Barr virus. And that's the video that did it. That's it.
Yeah.
It went viral 6 months ago on the same platform. How is this even happening?
Yeah. It's funny that you say that because similar to, I mean, mine was the election thing that basically led to my ban. But even that, I wasn't saying anything. Exactly like you just said, I wasn't saying anything that everyone else isn't already saying. You know what I mean? Right. I can go on TikTok right now and I can find people even message me and they were like, Avia, I've heard so much worse shit on TikTok than what you said. Why the hell did you even get banned? And what was unfair to me too was they did admit to me that TikTok requires 5 strikes for a permanent ban. I only had 2 on my account. And one of them was the election. The other one, which was, I don't know if you remember this, but on my last account, I shared, it's an herb. It's an ancient Indian herb. It's called Harataki. I use it. I've used it for years. Has so many benefits for the brain and everything. And it decalcifies your pineal gland and everything. And I also, you know, provided sources when I shared this information. I've always told people whenever they asked, because in India, it actually translates to healer of all diseases. And I specifically said, I was like, hey, I cannot speak on anything that I have not used this for. Please do your own research. But anyway, with my ban, that was one of the strikes that came up, that I was spreading conspiracy theories and misinformation about health-related products and the health industry. And I was like, that makes no sense because you can buy it on Amazon. You can buy it at your local Indian market. And so it made no sense to me. And that's how I knew they're, it almost feels like they're coming up with any reason to ban, just to silence you, just for like, yeah, you know what? You don't really deserve it, but shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? It's very unfair.
Coming for me, it was the day before I was launching my book, and TikTok is like my billboard. That's where I get a majority of my eyes. So I've had to like try to attempt to build Instagram back up, and it's just disgustingly painful. The algorithm is so different. Yeah. The audience is so different.
I totally understand because I went through something similar. Like I have told you, I've been in the music industry since I was 12. Basically, what was funny was, that's why I can relate to what you're saying about TikTok was the platform that I built an audience on very naturally. I really put in kind of no effort. It just happened very naturally. It wasn't forced. I actually didn't even go into it with the intention of like, I want to make money from this platform. You know, I know so many people are like, I want to become a content creator. How do you do that? And so I never went in with that intention, but I do know like I haven't built the same following on Instagram. It feels very like superficial and shallow to me personally. And then Twitter just, I could say the same thing on Twitter that I say on TikTok, and Twitter, I'll lose followers and TikTok, I'll get a ton. You know what I mean?
X is a weird vibe. And, you know,
I keep forgetting it's X. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like in the quantum reprogramming game. It's not necessarily the platform to be talking about that stuff. What kind of dinged for me is because I'm actively talking about quantum reprogramming at frequency level and an awakening, that I just got shut down because I talked about spreading conspiracy around health. Which is fucking insane. But you said something kind of wild. And I look at you as just this Aquarian, zero fucks, but also you have so much gifting. It's crazy doing what I do. I was like, oh my God, Avia has
so
much gifting. You remind me of a girlfriend of mine that is in London. It's just this blue-eyed, blonde, striking, prophetic ability to impact people through sound, through voice. But you said something really prophetic. I don't know if you even know that you just said it, but you said blackout. There has been so much of that blackout energy coming into this election. And in a recent meditation, it's the first time I'm sharing this. In a recent meditation, I saw a blackout screen because I'm always trying to get, you know, future vibes. And I sense it, but I don't tap into it too much because I really don't want to know a whole lot of stuff. I just kind of want to be in the present moment and live my life. But it's fun to predict sometimes. Saw this blackout screen. It's a blackout. And I'm like, holy fuck, I bet you they're going to blackout the election. There's going to be a grid drop.
I've actually heard a few people predict that.
Yeah, I think there's going to be, so this is kind of interesting. So I've been sensing this for a little while, even though I don't tune into it too much. I've been feeling it, especially with what is happening with TikTok, like them purposely trying to dilute the app and then people who are banned to come back on and shit on the app. So people leave it and it loses credibility. But
I never thought about that perspective.
Yeah. So I think they're purposely trying to get creators who have had a very big impact, even if it was like over 100K, 200K, 50K, but people who had a ripple, right? Come back on and be like, this app fucking sucks. It's infiltrated. It's garbage. Everyone needs to leave and go somewhere else.
That's actually something I did say on my new account. I was like, you know what? With how corrupt they are, please. And also, I don't know really what's going on with the ban. I know it was supposed to be banned in the US completely anyway.
It's such bullshit.
Yeah.
It's such bullshit.
I was wondering about that. I was like, what happened to that? But to be honest, I didn't even really understand the full effect. Like you said, it's like your business card. You know what I mean? Like that's,
yeah.
It was like my platform. It was my audience. It was like, I told you, I had just spoken to the team of people I'm working with in music. And I was like, you know what? I was never a political page. I just kind of like speak about what's currently going on in the world. And so the election naturally came up and I spoke my opinion on it, but then I kind of got too deep in it. And when I realized that a certain side, they don't have a lot of logic. I realized that I even talked to the people I work with and I was like, you know what? I'm staying away from the politics thing for now because I'm realizing that if they can't see it now, they never will. And it's not my job to force my perspective on them. I've talked about it. If they don't see it now, I can't help them. And so I was like, I'm going to stay away from this. I specifically stayed off. I didn't post for a week prior to my ban. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to shift into sharing my voice and my music and what people haven't seen from me. And I'm going to shift in that direction. So exactly like you were saying about your book, it was funny because I was just preparing. I was like, this is my audience. I've built this audience. Like, it was nice to know that I did have an audience to share that with. When it got banned, I was like, oh my God, it happened overnight. One night I couldn't sleep. I was scrolling on TikTok. It was really late. I woke up a few hours later. My TikTok was banned.
Over. Mm-hmm. Same with me. I hadn't posted for a while and I finally had come up like a few viral videos and I was like, perfect. This is like great momentum right now. I have a ton more leads coming in and I'm building this list because you kind of constantly have, I mean, I know a big part of what I'm doing is like education based, right? People want to see transformation and whatever else. But then it was just like that. I posted a video at night. It was an old video. It's kind of like they copied the whole Facebook thing where they pull up a memory and then you can repost an old video. It was an old video that went viral like a year ago when I was in Albania and I posted it and it was boom, boom, hours later banned. It wasn't like I could appeal it. It was like permanent decision.
That was me too. Mine was permanent.
And then it was like permanent. And I was like, what the hell? This is crazy. And then I was like, oh, they're trying to get us to purposely shit on the app to lose credibility right now. So here's what I think would happen with the ban. What happened with the ban is it passed the House, but never went into Congress. No shocker there. The passing of the House is a very, very similar trend that what happened with the last election with Twitter. So the FBI infiltrates Twitter. The FBI has already infiltrated Facebook and Meta because we know that because Zuckerberg has been on this I need to reclaim my image campaign. And
he even admitted to the censorship.
He got pressured by the government to suppress content. So there's right there, there's voter suppression, there's voter interference. So we already know that Meta is infiltrated. Right? Mm-hmm. It's surveillanced. Since that ban, in quotes, essentially part of the agreement was to have updated terms and conditions, which every single time we went on the app, at least it felt for me when I went on the app, I had to update terms and conditions every other month.
Yeah, all the time.
Added more and more and more restrictions. So if you said the wrong thing, like 1 second, boom. There had a video taken, me saying that Trump is a catalyst, and we're probably heading into some kind of civil war, if not martial law. And we'll see what happens with this upcoming election between him and Kamala. And then doing a slight tap in is a very normal TikTok video to make. But that was the first strike where it was like account warning. And I've been on account warning for months for no reason. And then that second video about the deprogramming is what did it. And I was like, that's barely any strikes. What the hell is going on? So yeah, I think they're basically diluting the validity of the platform, kicking people off left and right. And it's just like the Twitter files before Musk bought it and turned it back into a free speech platform where there was active intel that FBI had been working inside Twitter, working with the FBI, working with the government. I think the same thing is happening right now with TikTok because we're moving into like hyper state of surveillance. So
back to
the blackout. I think there's going to be a blackout. I'm sensing that if it's not a total and complete, you know, we're going to steal the election again and Trump actually gets in, I do not see him leading for long.
It's funny because, like I said,
Trump will step up after. He's like the kind of the king in the corner kind of.
Yeah. Vibe. Yeah. And, you know, I forget who it was, but someone actually said they predicted that this will be the first year that they don't see an election even happening.
I said that a year ago on my podcast when I did prediction for 2024. I said that a year. I said, if we even get to an election, I'll be shocked.
Yeah. And so it's really interesting. And basically what sucks about, they don't want people to be empowered. They don't want people to be knowledgeable about anything. Like any information that doesn't go along with their narrative, then they want it to be censored, because it's like, I mentioned that too in one of my videos before I got banned. I mentioned that, like, I feel like no matter what way it goes at this point, because we see how corrupt the left is, I think if Trump does get elected, either way, I just see some shit happening. That's what I'm saying. Like,
shit's going to go down for sure. All lies will be exposed, like Cat Williams said, for sure. But I don't know what it is, but this prince in waiting, king in waiting vibes with Vance. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think it's going to be very interesting. So I want to pivot for a second, and I want to move to your genius, which is singing, the talent that you have, and what's been going on in the music industry. And I think we originally became mutuals because I did a bunch of prediction videos about selling souls and things like that. And then naturally all this, you know, this preludes the...
Probably.
Is like a forward to what's happening now with the Diddy of it all. But I remember actually talking, like chatting, you know, making comments on each other's videos specifically about what's...
The darkness.
The darkness in the music industry. Tell us a little bit about your story.
So it's really funny because this happened a couple years ago. First, I'm going to go back. I've been in the music industry since I was 12. I've been singing my entire life. But when I was 12, I became a professional singer. So I was like taken out of school often. And that was my first job. That was my income. When I was like 15, 16, I decided to get more into the artist side of it. So I did like showcases in New York, and then I got callbacks from record labels, and I was with Capitol Records briefly when I was younger. So anyway, I've just been on this whole artist journey. I'm going to be honest, this is the first time I've actually talked about this publicly, because I was always torn between whether I wanted to talk about it or just let it go. For me, in regards to everything in my life, I think I can handle a lot, and I decided it would probably be important for me to share it because of how it could help other people. Mm-hmm. And a couple years ago, I was in a contract with like an artist development team. He actually is Diddy's mentor. So that's how, before this whole Diddy thing came about, I knew that this was going on. I knew that all these things that I see in all these documents and everything, I'm like, yep, that's true. Down to the details. I'm like, yeah, I know that's what goes on. That's what happens. I don't think people realize how common it is for these cults to happen in the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the reason why I think it happens so often in the entertainment industry is because when you're like a singer or an artist or a creative in that way, you almost have this, I mean, I do think we're wired differently. We naturally have this like delusion kind of. I can't explain it, never been able to explain it, but it's like when I sing, I've always said this, when I sing, my world could be falling apart, but I'm reminded of like this unconditional love that I've been gifted in music, the music that is within me and like my gift, you know what I mean? Just, mm-hmm. And so it gives you almost like this delusion where you keep fighting and you can see this vision for yourself, and you know that you've been given this thing for a reason. And so you want to take it as far as you can. So artists naturally kind of have this delusion a little bit. And so I think that's why they're so susceptible to being in cults, because we don't know about the darkness. You know what I mean? Like that's not, how do I explain this?
Because when of the delusion and the gifting. You mean, do you think there's a spiritual bypassing or a naivety going on with artists because of this like vision that they have?
I don't even know if it's naivety, to be honest, because it's funny. That's actually one of the reasons why I never knew if I would share this story, because I would like to say that I'm a pretty intuitive, mm-hmm. knowledgeable, like I have a pretty good judgment of character. When people hear these types of stories or people getting involved in these types of things, that's the first thing people think is, well, how are you so naive? I also don't think people realize that it happens very gradually in these types of situations. For me, I was in this, how it came about was I was in the process of finding a new manager at the time. And I took a meeting with this manager. And at the time, he was also managing an artist that was at Atlantic Records. And the artist was, he was like, stop by, you know, the studio. And one particular man who Diddy's mentor and the man that I'm referring to this entire time, he was giving him vocal lessons. And I remember...
Giving Diddy vocal lessons?
No. Giving the other artist at Atlantic Records vocal lessons.
Got it.
And I remember the manager I was with at the time, he's like, oh yeah, this is the girl I'm like taking a meeting with or whatever. And so he introduced us and he was like, can you sing for me? This is the, I don't want to give any names.
So yeah, sorry, yeah. This is Diddy's mentor.
Yes. He said, can you sing for me? And I sang for him. And I remember at the time I was working a job that I absolutely hated, but I would take like sick days off every single week. And I would take all the money in my paycheck and I would go and I would take vocal lessons or studio time. And I would be sick every other week. You know what I mean? Like they knew I wasn't there taking it seriously. He was like, can you sing for me? I sang for him. And he was like, I really want to work with you. And then when he told me what he charges for artists and all this stuff, I was like, okay, I don't think I can make that happen. He basically said to me, which is funny, the timing, I got fired shortly after I met him, shortly after I sang for him that one day. I told him, I was like, sorry, I can't like continue vocal lessons with you because I'm unemployed at the moment. And yeah. And so he said to me, he was like, how about we do a trade-off? If you kind of are my assistant and you can be amongst like these artists and like whatever, I will develop you as an artist and I will give you voice lessons, vocal lessons in kind of trading off being my assistant. And at the time, I don't really mind that. I don't mind doing that for now. And then I noticed that it ended up being a group of us who were kind of in similar positions where we were in between things. Or we were uncertain or things in our life. And I think he preyed on that in people.
Yeah, the vulnerability.
And so he would come in kind of as a savior, kind of like, yeah, let me help you. Because, and then the whole thing is like, you know, artists, you guys should have, I want to help you. It's your God-given talent and all this. Which brings me to my next point is like a lot of people in the music industry, and I've seen this from A&Rs, writers, producers, engineers, a lot of them, especially ones very high up in high positions, which is what made me struggle growing up with like what God meant to me. I'm very connected to God, but not the God that I ever, like not a church and not a religion, because a lot of the times these people in these high positions of power are doing the most fucked up shit, but you'll hear them talk about God all day long.
Yeah.
You'll hear them recite things from the Bible and pass it. And it's like, wait, how on earth are you, how are you doing these things if you're such a person of God? You know what I mean? So it kind of really made me struggle with for a long time. I think even like growing up, I wasn't sure if I believed in God because of that. I kind of had to define what God meant to me, but that's a whole other thing. But what I'm saying is this happens a lot in the music industry. It's very dark. It's very, very dark. And because this man specifically was Diddy's mentor, I do know about like when they talk about the freak offs.
Is he still alive?
Yes. And it's funny because I think like with all the manipulation that goes on and everything, I was not scared to speak about this because I don't know if he will ever pay attention to anything I do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah, they do mentally. They get in your mind. They get in your mind and they fill you with fear because they don't want you to ever speak about it. You know what I mean? But yeah, because this man was Diddy's mentor and because I worked closely with him for a long time, like being his personal assistant, I would kind of see.
How long did you work with him?
It was about 3 years. Yeah, it was a while.
During that time, there were no advances made towards you. There was an inappropriate behavior, or do you feel like you were being groomed the whole time?
This is where it gets kind of interesting. There ended up being a group of us at one point. There was like maybe 14 of us. And we were all kind of like artists. There were some like filmmakers. There were some creative people. And so he kind of took us all under his wing. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to develop you. But it got to the point where, and this happened gradually over time, but I noticed like at that time, I was really putting myself out there online as like people knew I was a singer. I would upload stuff, you know, all the time. Like I was releasing stuff. But when I was working with him, he made it very clear that he didn't want any of us to take any opportunities outside of him.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so because we were in a group of people where we were all songwriters, singers, producers, he kind of was like, well, you have everything you need here. Why would you need anyone else? And then because it ended up being that I was there for a while, on the tail end of it, when I was leaving, he pulls the whole, well, do you think anyone's going to care anymore? Because you haven't taken an opportunity outside of here in 3 years. So no one's going to care that you sing. No one's going to care about your music. No one's going to accept you to just pop back out again and all of a sudden like pick back up from where you left off. So they really get in your mind. Like,
yeah. Psychological control. You know who did the exact same? By the way, this formula, I talked exactly about this formula before I even had like firsthand experience confirmation on it. It was just through information I got from sessions, unpacking and researching cult mentality and cults in general. But the sequence you're talking about is cult mentality 101. And it's exactly what Jeffrey Epstein did.
Oh yeah. You know, what's crazy is at the time, I kind of joked around and I'd be like, oh, this kind of seems like a cult, like at a certain point. Mm-hmm. But my friends and my family were like, Avia, have you watched stuff like the documentaries on cults? And so I've seen a couple. I remember seeing one about like some TikTok dancers or something. And then there was mm-hmm. another one about, I forget. I remember watching it and down to the details, it is almost like they have a formula. Yes.
Yeah. It's a blueprint.
I remember watching one of them and getting chills mm-hmm. because, oh, that was it. The TikTok dance one. I remember the guy that ran that, his whole thing was they were in a church or whatever. And which this Diddy's mentor guy also did, but he would kind of give us instructions. And the whole thing was, well, how obedient will you be?
You have to be a good girl because good girls get fame. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Like I told you, I have, voice memos in my phone that could put this guy in jail.
Wow.
It's funny because when the whole Diddy thing came up, I was like always waiting for the right time. My friends and everything were like, Avia, you need to talk about this. You need to like yes. make a video about this. You need to post mm-hmm. it. And I always said, I was like, you know what? I think I would only talk about it if someone like invited me to talk mm-hmm. about it or asked mm-hmm. me to talk about it because I didn't know how to bring it up on my own. Because I can see things from such a higher perspective, I'm like, I don't ever want to have a victim mentality, even though that's what these abusers are doing. A part of me also, like I had to take quite a bit of time away from it to process it so that I was able to speak about it logically, because I had to remind myself, like, these are my experiences and I'm entitled to speak about my experiences and share my experiences with the intention to make other people aware and to help other people.
1000%. It's the most powerful thing you can do is to share your story. And then people can see themselves in that story. They get permission to start doing brave things with their life and sharing their story, et cetera. And that's how we change, you know, that's how things transform. So you left 3 years with this mm-hmm. mentor. He proceeds to basically perceptually entrap you into a place of thinking that you're just not going to be worth anything now. And are you signing an NDA at the end of that?
No. When I left, I had been in it for quite some time. And I would say 6 months prior to me leaving, I'm pretty resilient. And I remember there was a specific day and I remember thinking, Avia, you've been here for too long now. If you leave, this will all be a waste of time. Everything you worked on will be a waste of time. Then I also thought, I was like, I have to go back up to my friends and my family and be perceived as like a failure. I don't want to hear that conversation. I don't want to deal with that. And so I was like, I knew that the music I had worked on and the people I was working with, if I left, I would have nothing to prove. I'd have nothing to show for it, nothing to show for that time. And so I was like, Avia, you got to stick it out. And I remember I stayed for about 6 months after that. And there was a day when I realized I was like, I don't want to live anymore.
Oh, wow.
It got so dark and I had to really say to myself, Avia, this isn't healthy. Even if you leave with nothing, you need to go. You know what I mean?
That's such a hard place. It's heavy.
It was really, really difficult. And like I said, for his whole thing was, he was like, I haven't got my money's worth out of you yet. Like, I was supposed to develop you into this thing and you were going to make me a lot of money. And basically what he told me was, which is funny when it's funny because of how ridiculous it sounds. But then again, like I know black magic is used in the music industry. It's definitely used in the music industry. And so he told me, he's like, if you leave, and I know this sounds ridiculous. He said, if you leave, I have cursed you. So no one will ever care about your music anymore. No one is in this industry will ever want to work with you again. And no man will ever love you.
Of course. Was there any sexual innuendo? Was there any grooming going on? Was there anything inappropriate going on during that time working with?
So for me personally, I was actually in a relationship at the time with a writer, with a songwriter. And so the mentor, he didn't come on to me in that way, but he would ask for us to like have sex in front of him. I never did that.
Oh, wow. Wow.
But he would basically say like, do it right now, right here, right in front of me, right in front.
Right. So he could videotape it and have basically blackmail on you. Okay. A sex tape, basically.
And I remember one time, there was a specific time when he actually did put a recording device in the room and recorded it, like the sounds of it. He did tell me that after and said that he had that on me to hold over me. There were sexual things that did happen though, because, and also what's really interesting too, is while these things are going on, by the way, just to like explain to people how these people think, there were times when it felt really abusive, you know? And I remember kind of bringing it up and he would say, I'm trying to toughen you up. Hey, do you think you're going to handle the music industry? If I have to do the, I have to make you. And his whole thing was, he was very sexual in the way he would speak to people. Like he would speak to you. Like I remember one time he was actually in a session with Party Next Door and I had walked in and he was basically like, hey, will you fuck him right now?
Yeah.
And so it catches you off guard. You're like, what? Wait, hi.
Yeah.
Hello. What do you mean? But his whole thing is he's like, oh, I do that to prepare you for the music industry. And so brings me to my next point is there were about 8 guys in this group of people, like songwriters, artists, producers, and they were all straight men. They were all straight men. And this man would hold like meetings every week or every couple times a week. And we would all sit and kind of gather around. I remember one time specifically, you could tell he was kind of trying to bring these guys around to accepting like anal sex. And his whole thing was saying that that's the way to reprogram your brain is through your anus. And he's just very, you could tell. So anyway, I say that to say, he's mentioned the freak offs that happen in the studio. He would refer to them, which is disgusting. And I've still been waiting to see this word in one of the documents because I'm like, if I see it, I know that he referred to it as a buffet because he said that's what like these were. Like the freak offs were like sexual buffets. He also told us that he only has sex with virgins. And I remember asking, that's interesting. How do you find virgins? And he kind of, I remember the look on his face and he kind of smirked and he went, oh, we get them brought to us.
Oh, wow.
And I was like,
so young.
And I was like, okay, interesting. So anyway, after I left, there was a girl that I was there with and she's no longer there anymore either, but we've stayed in contact. We're friends. And she knows one of the guys that's still in there. Her brother is actually still in there because her whole family is like very musical. And so her brother is still there. This happened after I left. And I only know this because he confided in her about it. And she ended up telling me, but like the Diddy's mentor, he actually said to him in a room full of people in a group where they do all their little meetings, he had him to release his music and to get it like on the streaming platforms. Cause they were in there for a long time. Nothing was happening. You know what I mean? They were like, okay, what are we doing? Like you promised us this and it's not happening. So basically he was like, suck my dick in front of all these people.
Wow. And yeah. Humiliation ritual.
And he did it. Yep. And he's the only one that I know of that actually got his music on a streaming platform out of all of them. It's just, it's really sad because it's really sad to see, like, they're all straight men. you know, straight boys. And the thing is, another thing too, that people don't realize is because my parents for a while were like really worried about me, mm-hmm. obviously, I wouldn't really give much information, but it came to a certain point where they're like, something isn't right. Something here isn't right. And so when you try to bring this kind of stuff up to police or anything, the first thing they say is, how old are they? If they're over 18, they're choosing to be there. So there's nothing I can do about it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's also why these things happen, is because they don't really take into consideration the brainwashing that happens in cults. And they also think that like, okay, well, if they're over 18, it can't be that bad because they're choosing to be there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there was a certain point in time when we all had to move into an industrial building and like live there together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he would instruct us on when we could take showers. He would instruct us on our diet, what we had to eat, when we had to eat. We would have to stay up for as long as he wanted us to stay up for. That's also another thing that I've noticed is people, I don't know what he gave to us, but I don't think it was a drug because it didn't feel like a drug. But when I asked him what it was, he said it's like a concoction of herbs and flowers and plants, and it's all natural. But if he wanted us to stay up and be in the studio, he would actually give us like these capsules and like mm-hmm. this shot of something. And I'm telling you right now, I mean, I've had my party days when I was younger, you know what I mean? So I can compare it to some things, but like, but like it will keep you up for like a good 24 hours. There's no crash, but you literally feel like if someone told you to do something, you would do it. You wouldn't have one doubt in your mind. You would just do it.
Oh, that's wild. I wonder if it's a combination of ketamine and something else.
Yeah. I still to this day have no idea what it was, but like people were getting hooked on it. Like I remember some of the people in there would literally beg him for it, like come into his office and say, please, can I have, it was addictive, whatever it was.
Wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're getting drugged basically. This is total cult-like mentality too, where you just are in that numbed, not aware, not all the way of sound mind, making decisions and then doing things that you're not even really cognitively aware that you're doing. And now there's blackmail on you, which I think happened to like all of these kids, Bieber, Britney, all the Disney kids. Well, I think Disney's dark anyway. I think it's one big grooming industry, but this is crazy. Okay, so you are leaving. You decide to leave this guy. Now you're out of this, whatever this 3-year period of apprenticing, and then you're going to be developed as an artist. Mm-hmm. So from that point, take us up to present time.
So I'm going to be honest. I kind of struggled after that with like,
of course,
I don't think people realize how much it mentally fucks you up.
Oh yeah.
And I think it wasn't up until just recently when I was like, you know what? It happened. I can't go back in time. I can't change it. The only thing I can do right now is work with what I have, even if it's just my voice, even if that's all I have to give to the world at the moment, because I don't know, because everyone forgot about me or no one wants to work with me. You know what I mean? So it took a really long time to get myself into like a good place with that again and really bring myself back to like, I sing and I create because I love it and because it like heals me and I feel like it can also heal people. So yeah, I struggled with that for longer than I would like to even admit. There's a part of me that's like, I almost feel mad at myself for letting it affect me for that long.
That's fair. But I think powerful women feel that way in general about any dips that they have, because there's a part of us that goes, I should have known better.
Yeah.
I saw it coming. Like, how did I not get myself out of there faster? Like, I'm mm-hmm. resilient. I could see, I have things from this perspective, you know, I have this access to myself, et cetera. I've been through that myself. I think that's extremely normal. And I think women are the hardest on themselves when they go through shit. I mean, you were probably in a cult and you were properly getting psychologically controlled and manipulated. I mean, I'm like, the fact that you got out of that.
My best friend on my birthday wanted to bring me a cake one year and he like wasn't allowed to come see me because he basically tore us all away from our family and our friends too. They really do want to isolate you so that they're, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so like this was happening in LA and I live a little bit outside of LA. Like I grew up a little bit outside of LA. when my family, you know, I wasn't seeing them, even on holidays, they always make you feel bad about, because I remember saying, oh, can I go spend Christmas with my dad? And he'd be like, what do you need to go do that for? And I'd be like, well, I mean, it's a holiday. And so when this was happening, you know, obviously people are like, okay, something's not right here. I remember even telling him, I was like, okay, this almost feels like you're purposely trying to strip me away from my family now, because it almost felt like I had to beg to even go see my dad or go spend time with my best friend or something. Oh, there's definitely a formula. There's definitely an entire thing. And then also what people don't realize, I became friends with a few people through knowing that man. They were his clients. This whole thing that was going on in like a building where he was like grooming people was almost like a secret. Like not a lot of people knew about it. Not a lot of his clients knew about it. And because I was working as his assistant at the time, there were a couple people who I did become friends with outside of there. And they're we're not close, but like we'll talk here and there. And I don't think even because I know that they hold him in such high regard, he's so many people's mentor and people look up to him. Another reason why I didn't speak about it was because I really don't think people would believe it. Certain people knowing him would believe that he has this whole other thing going on that people know nothing about.
Well, I think that's why it's important for you to tell your story, because that's how the people come out of the woodwork. They're like, oh my God, I was so afraid to say anything.
And also that's another thing too, is like, because I've seen a few people, how they speak about this man and they really put him on a pedestal. And to know that you're like the person who abused you, you know, mentally, whatever, physically, emotionally, to know that people, that this abuser is idolized by people.
Yeah, just so fucked up.
It's really hard to, it's really even hard to explain. It's
No, I know. I had just a taste of it when I was working with the Joplin Estate in the branding, when I was doing branding, and we created a high-end line for, you know, with the Joplin Estate for Janis. And we had to go through Jam Pole Records and we had to go through Clive Davis, who is a fucking monster.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And people don't know that he's like completely the king of the groomers. And
oh, yeah.
He's one of Groom Diddy and allegedly, of course, allegedly. Mm-hmm. But I had enough of the creepies in the short proximity of meeting him at a couple of events and seeing his behavior and seeing the way people were responded to and reacted to him. And I was so sensitive then. Then just hearing the stories that came around with it, I was like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Like how with people this powerful, how does anybody get anywhere without an exchange?
Exactly. And I think that's what makes me so confused about, I mean, I do know that when you take one step, the path opens up, you know what I mean? Like I do know I trust in the process. I trust in the timing. I trust that everything happens for a reason to strengthen us. And I almost feel torn about that because my soul, like I love music. I love to sing. I love to create. I love it. But then the darkness, it's really hard to be in those spaces. And so I even did think, I was like, I don't know. I've had this feeling since I was really younger, but I feel like I'm supposed to make a significant impact in the world somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
sometimes there's been times where I've cried myself to sleep, even thinking like, you know what, Avia, maybe you had to go through this because maybe you are going to be in a position of power and maybe you can bring the light to this dark industry somehow. You know what I mean?
No doubt. And I have no doubt that you transcended so much karmic stuff, transcending those patterns. Same with me and my family, like my family line. If you're spiritually tuned in, you will not get pulled into those situations. If you do get pulled into situations like that, it was for you to come out of, survive, transform, transmute, transcend, overcome, and then be that light in the world as whatever it is, a survivor, someone who went through it, the story, various stages of surviving. And I think the music industry is having a huge reckoning now. And what's going to come on the other side of this is something completely fucking different, like wildly different.
I was just talking to one of the guys that I work with, and I was saying this. I I was saying with this whole Diddy thing, it's really gonna, I think the music industry has been shifting for like slowly. I think this is definitely gonna push it, but accelerate it. Because the way this whole Diddy thing happened, this is going to be a huge shift in the industry.
I don't think the pedophilia thing is, I think that is what's collapsing, the abuse of human life. This is, it's aggregated, right? It's in political systems now. It's in the entertainment industry. It's in music. It's in film. It's all together. And it just needs to kind of black hole itself and implode. A new paradigm needs to be built. And or it's like that darkness becomes extremely concentrated and creates its own simulation where like they just create AI artists. Almost like early 2000s repeats itself, but it's just bots. They make AI artists and it's a formula. AI is writing songs. They're finding people that they can abuse and manipulate and control that become NPCs they can medicate that they don't necessarily have to abuse. Maybe, you know, just because they're kind of half silicone, half carbon based.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they're kind of just robots that they'll just produce these like holographic, like figment artists that will just sell and they'll buy streams to do that. And that will be one aspect of the music industry without it being so human collaterally based. And then there'll be a whole other aspect that will come up like new platforms, transcendental records, you know, new artists coming in and new platforms being built and things that will be new that won't be so destructive to the human spirit. I really do believe that. And I feel like you're going to be a part of that.
I really do believe that just life in general, like whenever people are like, oh, the end of the world or the end of the, I'm like, you know what? Honestly, it kind of needs to end and be rebuilt.
The simulation needs to collapse. It's not working.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like what you said, it's like, you know what? Something has to be completely fucking run to the ground and destroyed to be rebuilt.
So unfortunately, it has to get that bad for the collective awareness to come back together.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? I feel like that's what's happening. And I'm just like, all I can do is ride it out, really.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you. So because we talk about, you know, spiritual practices and self-awareness and how to shift, evolve, and awaken on this podcast, you're in your kind of darkest periods. And what were some of the things that you leaned to in terms of tools to kind of pick yourself up and kind of hold yourself during those times?
It's funny because I know people tend to in those times, which is very common. I'm not saying it's bad, like, but people tend to have a hard time dealing with feelings like that or traumas like that. And so people, you know, turn to like alcohol or like numb themselves and run from themselves. I'm the complete opposite. I actually am so opposite to that I will let it hurt and bleed out and I will feel it all to the extreme. And I'm like, because I also don't drink. I'm like allergic to alcohol. I also just don't even like the way it makes me feel. Mm-hmm. So I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do any of that. I just felt it all. I felt it all. And I remember there were some days when I felt like, I do not know how I can make it through this. Mm-hmm. I do not know. There were times when I felt like if I could just rip my skin off and run out of my own body, like I remember there were moments when I was like, all I want to do is sleep because I don't want to be awake and I don't want to feel this. And it's too much for me to handle. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when I really, getting back to God, like my personal, I'm not with a specific religion. I don't go to church. I don't read the Bible. My version of God is like a higher power and the source that has created all that is and all that ever will be. And it's just like a very powerful.
Yeah, you're connected with that energy. What that means to you. Mm-hmm.
And that was when I really, really became very connected to God. That's why when people ask me about like my spiritual awakening or like, oh, when did your spiritual awakening happen or how, or are there any practice? I'm like, you know what? There's no amount of ayahuasca. There's no amount of shit you can go in. Because guess what? The way you can build your connection to God is in all the things that you would never choose.
That's right.
All the things you would never choose and that you would never wish for yourself or anyone else. Because if you're able to transmute that and you're able to like get through that, you have this like, it's weird because I feel like I'm just in such a place of faith now, just in the universe and in the way that like, I'll always be okay. Everything's always going to be okay. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know. I just, it's a very powerful place, but I don't think I could have ever got to this place if it wasn't for all those shitty things.
Yeah, it's powerful. I mean, when you have the ability to sit with yourself, you just become so wildly resilient, even more so, because you're like, fuck, I've already been through hell. What are you going to do to me? What is anybody going to say to me? Like, what can you possibly do that I haven't even been through already?
Exactly.
You know, sat in the depths of hell of my own emotion with myself, and I'm still here. Like, hello. Yeah. I talk about that a lot with psychedelics too. I was like, no amount of plant medicine will make you love yourself if you can't sit with yourself sober.
Exactly.
You can't sit with your emotions in the hellfire hellscape of your life, of yourself, in any given moment. I mean, you're going to get an even more high holy truth thrown at you with you start getting into jungle medicine and plant medicine. It's kind of crazy. Not to say they don't have their benefits for people, but not for me. Fascinating. Really, really fascinating. So where are you in present time? Are you making music?
I am. I'm actually like starting. Well, it's funny because I told you right before the whole band thing happened, I was like, you know what? I think that I need to just really throw myself into that again. Because for a while, I kind of lost myself, to be honest. Like, I was kind of like, I was torn between whether I wanted to continue or, but I like can't ever imagine my life without music or without singing. It just like, I don't even know how it would function in that way. But
what does losing yourself look like and feel like? Did you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, yeah, no, don't even know who you don't even know who she is?
You know what it was? Is like, I think also just the gift of music and having that, any creative gifts really that give you a purpose where you're always working towards something and like you're always, you feel like you're in, like aligned and that you, you know, are following the gifts that God has given you. And I just think that I felt like I lost myself when I wasn't being really that creative anymore. I felt like just defeated. I felt like, and it didn't feel like me. It didn't feel like, I didn't feel like myself for a really long time. So
that now, North Star of you being able to create and pull things through you and be a conduit for that was gone. The flame was kind of
yeah, off. Exactly. Yeah. And also it's like, it's always been the way that I knew to heal myself. It's like, it's always been, it's therapeutic to take these kind of situations and these feelings and then turn them into art. And then it feels useful and purposeful. And like, it's also giving to other people because exactly like what we've said, it's like, I think I can handle anything if there's a purpose to it. And if it helps other people, I'm like, you know what, if I have to go through this because it means that I have to create something from it and then give it to the people and then make people feel seen and understood and less alone, then it's all worth it.
Yeah.
For a while, I felt like I lost that part of myself. Then right before the ban, I was like, you know what? I'm ready to give this to the world again. I'm ready to show up and, you know, not hide from myself anymore. And I was like, oh, great. Bam.
Here we are. Well, the good news is the people who are finding you again, I mean, even seeing the videos and seeing the comments, they're like, oh my God, you haven't been on my For You page in a year. I always just loved your energy and your perspective. You're going to connect with the right audience. I mean, it doesn't have to be volume. It just has to be people who would actually stream and buy your music. Like,
exactly.
Do not sleep on a small but mighty crew. You know, I know a lot of people who have hundreds of thousands of followers, millions of followers, and, you know, they'll get like 15 likes on their photos.
Yeah.
And no one that will buy their shit.
Exactly. You know? I was just talking to my friend about that. I was like, if you have a group of exactly like you said, like say you have 10,000 followers, if those 10,000 followers are ride or dies and they will buy your music and they'll stream your music and they'll support you, it's better than having a million that you're only going to get like a 1,000 handful of people. Yeah.
1,000%. I also feel like I also feel at least for the work that I'm doing, like we're in a place where the collective is rebuilding. We're witnessing a collapse. The collective is rebuilding. And we have been kind of on these sidelines in the trenches, having momentum, going with the ebbs and flows. And there's also a collective timing to this whole thing too.
Yeah.
People need to be ready for a certain kind of light. They need to be ready to make shifts on their own and be able to have a guide during that time. So it's as much as opportunity and preparation coming together as it is collective timing as well. And I think you and I are witnessing that also. There is a timing to it. This conversation has been thrilling. I mean, really, I know my small but mighty and amazing crew at Super Freak is going to love this. Do you have anything that you want to share with us before we kind of wrap up? I don't want to take up any more of your time, but this was awesome. I would definitely want to have you on the show again.
I know. I love this. I was going to say, I feel like I could just go on forever. But,
oh my God, we could. And I did want to ask you this in terms of music. This was just kind of coming in, but are you going to be staying in the location you're staying out of the Southern California area? Or have you thought about moving?
I actually have thought about moving because yeah. I know that LA is an energy that it feels very heavy. Yes, can't explain yeah. it. I don't yeah, know how
I lived
to explain
there for a
long
time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, but the thing is, it's been on my mind, but I don't quite know where I would go because I'm actually a British citizen. So I'm not even an American citizen. I was even contemplating moving back to England at one point. I was like,
well,
you know
I thought
what?
About that. It's interesting that you just said that because, you know, I was kind of in my own meditation earlier this morning in my own vibe. And I was like, God, Avia doesn't even seem, I wonder where she's from originally. I was like, because she seems like she should be in London making her music. I fucking thought that this morning. Like Nashville.
Wait, maybe that's a sign.
Nashville, if you wanted to really be around amazing songwriters and evolve your music to hit an American audience where it would be a fusion like no other, but like to pop off and like get gritty with it and make the kind of music I think you probably want to make and be more free, it's London.
See, that might have been confirmation because I've been feeling that lately.
I got full body chills right now, girl.
Wow. You know what? Yeah. I might have to just take a trip and just see how it feels and like feel it out.
I love that idea. I love that idea. I know England's having a renaissance right now, but like everything epic during revolution times has come out of London, has come out of England.
Oh, I completely agree. Yeah.
All of it. And we're in revolution. And I feel like this kind of alternative, cool, transcendental type of fusion sound is really, really welcomed. There's something about that that feels really interesting for you. I definitely don't feel it's Southern California.
Oh, I definitely
way too multidimensional for that place.
Yeah, I don't. I feel very boxed in here.
It's not good. I'll say this: that I had a couple of friends who had been boxed in perpetually by living in for like two decades in LA. From like Warp Tour time, like teenagers, all the way up until like their 20s. And they were trying to make rock music and they were either this kind of rock pop or it was metal or it was like goth or you had to be this. And to them getting crazy opportunities to be on certain competition shows, vocal shows, they left and they moved to Nashville and signed with a completely different label and were allowed to make the music they wanted to make. And they've had thriving careers. And then I had another friend of mine who moved. She was a dual citizen, gave up her US citizenship, moved permanently to the UK and has been thriving there. Now, again, it's having a renaissance, but I would say like that particular area, I just keep coming back to, if you are an artist, specifically with, especially with music, there is a tolerance there that's very different to what's happening in the States right now.
Oh, definitely. I actually know a couple friends of mine are songwriters, one friend of mine specifically, and he's back and forth from England and here quite often. And he's actually told me that he's been like, you would probably do really well in London.
For a little while. And then you kind of find your sound and you re-enter into a place there. I know you probably already have your sound, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like re-enter and blossom there. And then you bring it over here when it's not so, let's say, Western influenced, which is not a bad thing, but it needs to go through a cycle because so much of the industry is kind of falling apart right now.
Oh, definitely. You know what? I might have to like book a trip and like just go and feel it out.
God, I love this for you.
I know.
Like I see you with the chinchillas of the world, with the wrens of the world, with these kids that are just popping off on their own.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that.
Who came out of there? Ray? I mean, she's phenomenal.
You know what? Actually, a lot of artists that I really admire and really love, they seem to all come from London or at least Europe. And I feel like it's because like Europe is just like a melting pot of all these different sounds. You know what I mean? Like there's all these different countries. So they're influenced by all these different. Yeah. You know what? Maybe I need to be there.
I mean, I can see you doing, you know, taking trains. You're like, you're just in Amsterdam, you're in Berlin, you're like, you're just there doing these.
That excites me even to hear that and to have like the thought of that. Like it just, it sparks something in my soul. So it resonates.
Even if it's just for a trip to just like turn that flame all the way on high and get the creative sounds and the music and just having it come through your body.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds very, very exciting.
It does. It sounds very exciting.
I love that for you. Go for it. I'm reading it. I'm reading for you. Okay. So what is something people would be surprised to learn about you?
That's a good question. I feel like my whole life, we would get into hours of more conversations if I really got into this. My whole life has been kind of crazy. Like even I just recently shared how I came to America, like why my family came here. And people seem to be really shocked about that. I don't know what would be shocking. I feel like there's so many things in my life.
Let's move on to if you had something to tell your younger self, what would it be?
Oh, I would say everything that you're going to go through, everything that you're going to experience that you perceive to be obstacles and blockages and painful are really blessings in disguise. And everything is always working in your favor, even when it doesn't seem like it, even when it doesn't look like it, because God knows and can see across all dimensions and all timelines, and you're only limited to your own. So everything is just strengthening you to become more than you've been and to be all you're meant to be in the world.
So beautiful. Okay, now we're going to move you into the future, and you're connecting with a version of you that's like 10 years older than you are now.
Oh.
What do you think her message is for you?
Oh my gosh. That's a really good question. I almost want to say it would be similar to, it'd probably be on a much larger scale than my message to my younger self, but maybe it'd be like, it was all worth it. Okay. You didn't
beautiful.
Know it then. It was all worth it.
That is beautiful. And then a message for the audience of where they can find you and what you want to leave them with.
You can find me. I'm most active on TikTok. That's my main platform. Instagram doesn't really work out for me too well. People on Twitter don't give a fuck about anything I'm saying. So I would say TikTok. Okay.
What's your handle?
Avia Amber on Instagram and X. And on TikTok, it is now Avia Amber _.
Yeah, mine's _ too, unfortunately.
I know. I'm like you, I don't like that.
I know. Well, my dear, you are an absolute gem. I can't wait. I mean, I was actually going to move to London, but I am going to stay and fight it out and be revolutionary here in the States.
Where? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be moving to Idaho of all places.
Oh.
So I'm going to be kind of on the outskirts of the capital city there. And I'm going to anchor there for a year and ground. And
nice.
Then I'm going to figure out something else to do. Since I've been traveling nonstop for 3 years, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm ready to get like a truck and a gun, you know, like fucking leave me alone. Yeah. So this was amazing. You're a gem. I can't wait to have you on again.
I know. I'll come on anytime.
Oh my God. I love it. We're definitely going to do a part two. In the meantime, is there anything you want to leave the audience with?
No, I love you guys though. And thank you for listening.
Oh my God,
and hopefully we'll get to all talk again sometime soon.
Thanks so much for listening, you guys. Please make sure to leave a review and follow the fun on social media, because that's how it works in this world. In the meantime, get your freak on. I'll see you in the next session.